Hello and welcome. I'm Roberta Jerram from GiantPotential.com, the online British network supporting women entrepreneurs and small business owners who dare to dream a little bit bigger. Now, today's interview is the first of three that I'm doing with Natalie Brown from Allett Wingham Chartered Accountants. Natalie is our newest Giant Potential expert and also happens to be my own accountant. Now, I think, well, it's honest to say, I carefully selected Natalie from all the other accountants out there because she stands out as someone who's different from most people's stereotypical idea of what an accountant is like. I really like her approach because, without sounding disrespectful to other accountants, she's friendly, approachable, and incredibly likable. So let me welcome you onto the call now. Natalie, hello.
Hi, Roberta, and thank you for that lovely introduction.
You're welcome. I think it's just really important to know how approachable you are, because I know accountancy and so forth, it does frighten a few people in business, and it is something that's just really important to know that you've got somebody at the other end of the line or at the other end of an email to relate to.
And it used to be, you know, so an old-fashioned approach, didn't it, you know, to accountants, you know, the stuffy old men. So, you know, they are still out there, but hopefully we're trying to bring sort of accountants to sort of everyone's level now and just get to know everyone in a much better way.
Yeah. So I'll just let everybody know, today's interview is the first of a trio of chats that I'm going to be having with Natalie, and it's entitled The Most Important Things to Consider When You're Self-Employed. So, Natalie, let's just start with, do you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, my name's Natalie Brown. I've been working at Allett Wingham for 16 years. Came straight from college and did all my training here. To me, it's just a lovely sort of family feel to a firm of accountants. So, you know, that's probably why I've never left. And I've always been lucky that I've moved up through the company until I became director. Apart from my sort of work life, I'm a mum of two. My youngest turned two yesterday, and my eldest turned four a couple of weeks ago. So if I'm not working, I'm being a mum as much as I can, so juggling the two and just having lots of fun, really, with them. And other things I like to do is running. I've got a very keen interest in running, doing the Great South Run in a few weeks' time. And my sort of get away from it all every day is just doing half an hour running, just to make myself feel human and, you know, just forgetting about the day and just, yeah, having a bit of me time. So I do fit in lots of other things, but, yeah, that's my main three things that I do in my life at the moment, working, being a mum and running.
So on the subject of work and accountancy, what sort of businesses do you tend to have as clients?
We act for anyone that walks through our door, no matter how small a business they feel they are or how large, we can accommodate everyone. We get people that walk in the door with literally a carrier bag of receipts, and they just need a tax return doing, so quite a basic set of accounts. And we have sort of the larger companies, but because we are a firm of chartered accountants, we can do audits. So it's quite technical and a lot of work involved, but again, you know, as the companies grow and they become multi-million pound turnovers, we can act for them as well. With any services, so in the local area, because we are based in Fareham, we act for a lot of the smaller manufacturing companies, the shops here, solicitors. As we sort of walk up and down West Street and High Street, a lot of the sort of companies we do act for. Further afield, we act, you know, more to Southampton, Portsmouth. We've got a lot of clients in London, because in our opinion, there's so much that can be done via email that you don't always need to have your accountant on your doorstep. It's good to have that occasional, you know, meeting, but every now and then so much can be resolved via email that it's not always relevant to have an appointment and see people.
And I'm guessing you obviously don't charge London prices either, so it's quite a big
No, we don't, because we quite often exhibit in London, and that's what we say to people. You know, we are, in my opinion, we are just as good as a London firm of accountants, but the prices are probably at least a third cheaper, which does make a big difference to someone that's just starting out in business, because an accountant's fee, okay, it is relevant and you do need to sort of pay that, but it's another expense that if you can sort of keep it as low as possible, it's obviously preferable to people.
And of your clients, Are you seeing a rise in women in business now? Have you noticed this over the most recent years, would you
say? Yeah, I think when I first started, it was still very sort of male orientated in business, but it is becoming more. Over the last 3 or 4 years, because I've been a director for 6 years now, so I have noticed there are more and more women coming to see me, setting up their own businesses, especially, you know, it's a flexible sort of business for them, because if they have got children, they do still need to take the children to school. And so if they've got their own business, they can work around all the other commitments that they have. And, yeah, there's different options for sort of people starting out in business, but certainly is a sort of a rise in the number of women business now. And a lot of women, they do work with their husbands as well in their businesses. So they have started to sort of take that 50-50 share in their businesses to sort of just help the family out. So again, there is a mixture.
And do people come to you sort of straight away when they go self-employed, or do they come a little while into their business? What do you generally find?
There is a real mixture. It's usually best if people do see an accountant first, because it's just getting that right structure in place, because people think, oh, you know, just going to start with a business, worry about the accounts later. But sometimes it's, you know, you do need to register with the Inland Revenue within 3 months of starting up in business, regardless of whether you see an accountant or not. So it's just little tips sometimes that an accountant can just remind you of things you do need to do. Before you've sort of been trading for a year, and then sometimes it's too late and you start to get penalties. So I think it is always important that people do, even if it's just a quick half an hour chat with an accountant, just to make sure, am I going along the right lines? You know, should I be doing this, or what would you recommend? So it's, yeah, I prefer someone to see me before they start their business, but it's not always the case.
Yeah. Okay. And what would you say are the top things we need to think about when we first go self-employed, let's say, or when we have been self-employed for a little while?
Okay, well, I think if you're looking at sort of the financial aspects of becoming self-employed, cash flow is very important. You know, you might have that business plan in place, you've got the idea, you just need to make sure you have got enough funds to start up. You know, there's always the initial cost that you need to get in place. You might need to sort of pay solicitors if you sort of have a new idea. If you're sort of doing, you know, in a shop, you might need to buy the stock. So it's just making sure you've got enough cash, and also enough cash as a contingency. You know, what if I don't make any sales in the first few weeks? Have I got enough cash there to survive on, really? So getting the cash flow in place, getting a good business plan is very important. And then having the support financially, either from your family, close friends, getting a good bank on your side as well always helps. I think if you've got a good business plan, the banks are more supportive. They like to see someone has got that good idea and how they're going to put it into place. If you're looking for a bank overdraft, you know, you're not going to get that unless you have got a business plan in place. And also, I think banks, you know, people think, oh, I've got to set up a new bank account. And, yeah, that is very important, because you need to keep the business and your personal bank separately so that we don't muddle the two. And because it is a business bank, you want to make sure you go to a bank that is going to offer you free banking, because, again, that's another expense that you don't want to be paying out in your first year. Expenses, you're going to have a lot of expenses to begin with, a lot of initial costs. Again, most of these expenses you're going to get good tax relief on, which we will come to later. You've got to keep good receipts. You've got to keep all your invoices. Really, just good record keeping, again, is very important when you're starting out in business. There's no point, you know, having this good business that's making you a lot of money, but then losing all your receipts so that we can't claim that tax relief. And also, in case you do get a tax inspection, they're going to expect you to have all those receipts in place. And another very important, sometimes the most important financial aspect is the tax. You know, hopefully you're going to make money in this business, so we've got to think, how are we going to budget to pay our tax? Again, I'll talk about that in a little while. Great. So I think they're the most sort of important financial thoughts that we sort of have to consider when starting out.
So on the subject of expenses, what can you claim as a self-employed person?
Okay, I mean, there is a general rule. It's got to be wholly, exclusively, and necessary for the business. again, everyone has a different type of business. Most things can be claimed. If it's for the business and we can justify that it is a business expense, you will claim, you know, we will claim 100% tax relief on that. Some people try to put anything through a business that's personal as well. Unfortunately, we can't claim anything that is personal. So just like, you know, your normal clothes that you have to wear to work, those sort of things can't be claimed. But if it was, you know, helmets or the steel toe cap because you were working in a dangerous area, then those sort of clothes can be claimed. So again, every business is different and it's always just best to check with your accountant, can I claim this as an expense? Something that is very sort of exciting that people, you know, there's a new rule now that any capital expenditure, you can claim 100% of that against tax. So if you were to buy computers, I know a lot of people need laptops and iPads, that, you know, the whole cost of that is now sort of 100% relieved in the first year. So we can make some really good tax savings on some of the expenses. So really, yeah, Roberta, it's just checking with your accountant what can be claimed. And we always produce sort of spreadsheets to send to people that have got the majority of the expenses, just to jog people's mind that things can be claimed.
Great answer, thank you. So how and when do you need to register self-employed? Let's start there.
Okay, I sort of mentioned before that some people
You
don't
did mention it, yeah. Accounting. Just go into a little bit more detail if you wouldn't mind. Yeah,
you have to register within 3 months of starting to trade. Now, this it can be a bit ambiguous, you know, when am I starting to trade? Really, it's the day that you either get into your premises or you sign the contract or even open the bank account, because that's when really we're starting to trade. So we've got 3 months that we've got to register with the Inland Revenue. Very easy to do. It is just a simple form that we can do, or, you know, someone can just go on the website, because the HMRC website is very user-friendly now, and you can download the form and just register that way. If you don't register within the 3 months, you will get a £100 fine. So, I think, again, you don't want to be paying fines in your initial year of business. You want to, you know, keep hold of as much money as you can. So again, it's very, very simple to do. As soon as you have registered, you know, you'll be put on the system at HMRC that you are self-employed, and that's when you'll start to get letters and paperwork from the revenue with different deadlines and forms that you need to fill in. And you'll have to start paying certain taxes, which I think we're going to talk about next.
Let's go into that now then. So what taxes do we need to pay and how?
Well, Under self-employment, you pay income tax, which until you're a higher rate taxpayer, it is at 20%. Once your income falls over, just over £42,000, you will have to pay tax at 40%. You also have to pay national insurance. Now, if you're self-employed, there's two types of national insurance you have to pay. There's Class 2, which is just over £2 a week, and that's usually collected via a standing order quarterly. You also have to pay Class 4 national insurance, which is 9% of your profits. So the Class 2, that's collected by standing order or direct debit. The income tax and the Class 4, that's when it's calculated at the year end, and that's what you pay with your self-assessment. Now, everyone will have to do a tax return, and the tax returns, at the moment we're in the 2013-14 tax year, and a tax year runs from the 5th of April to the 6th of April. Sorry, from the 6th of April to the 5th of April. So for the 13-14 tax year, which is going to end next 5th of April, any tax due is paid the following January. So initially, there is a bit of a time delay before you have to pay any tax, but once you do start to get into that self-assessment way of paying the tax, you have to pay a payment on account as well. So for this tax year, you would have to make your payment on account in the January and the following July. So self-assessment, we do have to budget for that tax. So some people say to me, oh, tax returns aren't due till January, you know, we've got plenty of time. But in my opinion, as soon as that tax year is finished on the 5th of April, let's get your tax returns done as early as we can, so that we know what you have got to pay in that January, rather than, you know, I always have clients that give it to me late in January, and, you know, they have a bit of a shock when they've got quite a large tax bill. So again, it's about good planning to make sure we know how much tax is due and when it is, you know, when it's got to be paid.
Yeah.
So they're the main, you know, the main taxes. Also on the tax return, we would put any other income. So if you rent out a house, that income goes on your tax return as well. If you also have a full-time job or you receive any dividend income, again, it's your tax return is a collection of all your income. So we put it all on the tax return. Again, very simple for us to do, but, you know, it's, again, as long as someone has got very good records, they're very straightforward to do.
And as you said, it's all in the planning, really.
It is all in the planning, and I think people, once they start out in business, there is a lot to take on, but once you get into that routine, it just becomes second nature, really.
Now, I know just before we started on this interview, Natalie, we were talking about the difference between whether there's a little bit of confusion about whether somebody's self-employed or an employee. Could you explain just a little bit about that? Because I think it might be of interest to some of the people listening, actually.
Yeah, so well, I mean, I'll just touch on it briefly. But most people sort of set out a business that they are self-employed or going to have a limited company. You have to just be a bit careful that if you're working for the same person, it could be seen that you're just a full-time employee there. Now, what I mean is if you're sort of contracting to the same person, you're not working for anyone else, you're working full-time hours, it can, you know, if the inland revenue do lick into you, it could be that they say, actually, you're not self-employed, you should just be working for them as an employee. Now, we really prefer people to be self-employed because you are going to save some national insurance. But again, we don't want you to be self-employed if you shouldn't be self-employed, because then you will have to, you know, you face interest and penalties on the taxes that potentially you have missed out paying. And they can go back 6 or 7 years. So it's just best to make sure at the beginning we are, again, in the correct business structure to that one.
Great, yeah. And yeah, I was in a similar situation to that. It was consultancy work that I was doing for, well, it started out for several people a few years ago now, and then it ended up I was just working for this one company, you know, and I was invoicing them every month and as a self-employed person, and we had exactly that conversation. It was really interesting sort of what you're kind of missing out on if you get it a little bit wrong. So really important point, actually. Thank you. So this is the kind of the big question, I suppose. Anybody who hasn't quite made that transition into talking to an accountant yet, there's always often a fear around, oh my goodness, this is going to cost me a lot of money. or, you know, there's just a fear about having that conversation in the first place, thinking, oh gosh, they're probably going to charge lots and lots of money. How much do you charge? Because I think people need to realise how this could actually save them money.
We operate on a fixed fee per client as best we can. You know, if they start asking us on different subjects, sometimes we have to charge that separate. But if it's generally about your business and it's just general questions and emails, we do have a fixed fee. Now, a tax return is as little as £150 for the year. So if we're just preparing someone's tax return, again, that should be quite a low cost to most people. As people, you know, as the business's sizes start to increase, if it's a small set of self-employed accounts and a tax return, it's usually about £400, £450 per person. And it tends to go up to about £700. And then if people become a limited company, the fees, again, they vary according to the size of the company. So really, anything under £700 for the year as a fixed fee, again, so you're saving tax on that as well, so I always like to think of it as 80% of that cost. But it's, you know, I'd rather people did email me if they've got any questions rather than thinking, oh, you know, is she going to turn that egg timer over? I really don't have an egg timer on my desk. I know people think, I think solicitors sometimes do, but, you know, we don't. So, you know, I'd much rather people did get the right information at the beginning rather than just hoping for the best. And then to be honest, it could turn out more expensive because I've got to do a lot more work where we could have sorted something out at the beginning. So everyone has a different fee structure. It really does depend on the type of client and their business. But, we don't overcharge. you know, I've got quite a big building here and there, I mean, I do have overheads. So we aren't the cheapest because we're not a one-man band, but we're certainly not the most expensive. You know, I like to think that you're getting good value for the for the money here. And I think, I mean, I have mentioned very briefly a limited company, which I believe we're going to be talking about in more detail tomorrow, aren't we, Roberta?
That's right, yeah.
But just sort of at the last sort of point on the self-employed, it isn't always the best option, you know, because a limited company quite often is a better option because there are more tax advantages in that company. But all I would say is if you're starting out in business, it's generally best to be self-employed. And also if, I mean, let's face it, in the first year of business, we don't always make money. So if you are making losses in your first year of business and you have got another job, perhaps you're working part-time as well and you're paying tax, often if you're making a loss in your business, we can offset the tax in your employment income and we can get you quite a nice tax refund in your first year of business.
And I can highly recommend that. It's definitely worth a conversation on that. Yeah,
which quite often pays for the accountant's fee. So, you know, there are, you know, it's not always as bad as it seems.
Fantastic. Now, how can somebody listening now get in contact with you? How do you prefer, or how do you find most people make contact with you, Natalie?
I think most people, well, you can either phone our main sort of office number, which is 01329 822 32. A lot of people like to email me just to give me a brief introduction of who they are and what their ideas are, you know, and then sort of say, you know, what do I need to do? Because then I can either ring you back or email you back. Because I know in our sort of busy work lives, everyone, you know, as easy as it is to pick up the phone, a lot of people do prefer email. So either way, really, email or a phone call. We are just about to get our new website up and running, but our old website is still on there, which is Elliott Wingham. If you Google that, you will sort of find out also how to contact me. But my email address is nb, which is for Natalie Brown, @ElliottWingham.com. So, you know, I'll always reply to anyone that needs any advice, and we always offer a first meeting for free just to get to know people and just to make sure we can work with them and that it is the right thing that they should be doing. You know, I don't want to waste someone's time, you know, ongoing if it's just not the right thing for them.
Thank you for that, Natalie. Just before we finish off, I'd like to just let people know what the next interview is going to be about, because as we said, this is the first of three, just to give people a bit of an overview. Because there are obviously going to be people that have been self-employed for a little while. They've been doing all the things that you suggested, or most of them. But there's something in their mind thinking, I wonder if I should be a limited company and what's that all about and who do I ask?
Yeah.
Do you want to just do a very brief, not go into too much detail because that's obviously what the next interview is about, but some of the decisions that might be in process between going from self-employed to a limited company?
Yes, I mean, a limited company, a lot of people think, oh, gosh, that sounds quite scary. You know, it's a whole company, you know, there's a lot of paperwork. But again, it's just a business structure. A company can be set up for as little as £15, so it's not a massive expense to set up a company. It just means it's totally separate, again, to you as an individual. The main advantages for a limited company, kind of in the name, the limited, you've got the limited liability. So if something does happen to the business, you can't be personally liable for anything because you're totally, you know, it is a separate entity. So it's only the company that can, the company can only sort of, if I say the word sued, I don't like saying that, but in effect, it can only be sued for as much as money as is in the company. And the other main sort of advantages are the tax savings. You know, as your turnover increases and as profits increase, it is quite often best to look that a limited company is the best route for people. Gives you that little bit more flexibility as well. And I think it sounds better. You know, you've gone to that effort of registering a company. You know, it's got that little bit of, I don't know, a little bit more grander about it. So, yeah, I think it's, I mean, we'll discuss it more in detail tomorrow, but it's definitely a different solution to a lot of people's, you know, tax problems and, you know, trying to get as many expenses in there as well. So it is very flexible.
Great. Natalie, thank you so much. so much for your time.
You're welcome.
I'm really hoping that, you know, what you've shared today has really sparked off some thoughts in some people's minds about their self-employed status and so forth. Yes, tomorrow, well, I say tomorrow, Natalie and I are talking tomorrow. I'm not sure if these interviews are actually going to go out sequentially online. But the second in the series of three is called When to Register as a Limited Company, which I do think is going to be very, very much worth a listen as well. But thank you again very much for your time, Natalie.
Thank you.
The best way to get hold of Natalie is either by telephone or by email, and we'll share that link when we share this out online. So thanks again for your time, Natalie. It's been great.
Thanks, Roberta. Thank you.
Speak soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.